We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We played well enough to get the lead and win, but we got to knock some shots down. When you watch the first half, you would not think that that might be possible tonight. It not only was possible, I mean, we had a great chance of doing it, and that's what hurts. You know, that's what hurts.
And welcome in. No game for the Blue Devils this weekend, so a little bit extra time to get ready to continue this three-game road swing that is continuing on Tuesday night in Pittsburgh and then on to Louisville a week from this Saturday. David Shoemake joined alongside, as always, by Associate Head Coach John Shire. Coach, no game this weekend, so we can both enjoy our team in the NFL playoffs. Who do the Bears have?
You think you're funny, huh? I think you're funny. Good luck to your Bills. I will not be rooting for them, but I'm wishing
whoa,
you.
Whoa! No support?
No, just, you know, when you started off that way, man, it's hard to give my support. That was a cheap shot.
Did you watch the Nickelodeon broadcast or the regular one?
I did. I got my kids actually watching with a Nickelodeon broadcast, and I'm a big Tony Romo guy. I wanted to listen to Romo. And so as soon as I flipped it to him, they scored, and
oh, no.
You know, the slime went off, so we missed it.
Oh, that was good stuff. Slime in the end. Maybe they should do that for a basketball game. Anytime like a three ball goes in, just get some slime involved.
It actually was good to get our kids involved, you know, in watching the game. So hopefully they keep that going.
All right. You'll change your mind before Saturday. Let's talk hoop. We're going to get meta on the podcast today. Talk about the team. Talk about some basketball philosophies. As I guess you could say we're a quarter away into the ACC slate. You never know how many games you're going to play with everything that's been going on with COVID, but want to take stock of where we're at. Want to start with the most recent game against Virginia Tech, and want to start with the head coach, his thoughts after the team fell on the road 74-67.
It's a game unlike the first three conference games. This was kind of a man's game. It was very, very physical, and they just knocked us back for almost the whole half. Our young guys have to be able to learn from it. In other words, they've never been in a game like that. And so you can do that to somebody else, too. It's not fouling. It's just being very physical. And what it did was it just stood us up, and we had no movement on offense. You know, the first half, you know, they were just playing harder and more physical than we were. I thought we got really knocked back. And in the second half, I thought we outplayed them. And we came out and really played good defense. We played physical. And we had our opportunities. We could not hit a shot. We could not hit a shot. And then a couple plays, they weren't the right shots. like in the fast break when it was down to one, I think it was 56, 55, we shot two air balls. You know, we want, you know, they're at those points. And part of it is you're coming back. So you're, boy. And then you don't think. You just, especially when you're playing that hard defensively, then you have to just take a breath. Okay, now let's execute. Again, I thought we had good looks. They're good. They're really good. And the kid Radford, that he's one of the toughest kids you can play against. I mean, he was really good. But the way we came out in the second half and played the second half is how we have to play. You know, a little bit smarter. Our veterans have to be smart for us. Jordan and Wendell, they've been in games like that. We just got to keep growing. We got some minutes for Jalen, but he's not ready, especially for this level of physicality. He's practiced once, so it's not a game where he's going to help us. But, you know, we got some time here. You know, we got to get better. We got to keep getting better.
Well, a lot to unpack from what Coach just went through. Let's start at the very beginning of what he said, and I think it's fair. The physicality of Virginia Tech in the first half and the way that they played, and Coach used the phrase that the Blue Devils got knocked back. And to kind of pull it out from that individual game, Coach, I'm curious to get your perspective, because unfortunately it's not the first time that that's happened this season, and Duke has dug out of some holes earlier this year. When you have a young team, and that's kind of been a feature the last decade or so as you guys have been getting these teams going, how much of the early portion of games is tricky, right? Especially early in the season, as you're trying to feel your way into the game versus dictating the terms of the game, if that makes sense.
Well, no, it does make sense, and that's exactly what happened. You know, Virginia Tech, they were the aggressors from the beginning. That's in all of us as coaches, as players, obviously, as well. They were more ready to play. You know, we had a hard time even making passes on offense. You know, we were not screening. Credit them. They were very physical, you know, pushing us. They were going under on our ball screen, so they were pushing us up and going under. On the offensive end, they got in our paint pretty much at will. And, you know, they did to us, frankly, what we try to do to people, where we contest passes, we really take them out of their offense. And that's what they did to us. So I think it's a huge learning experience. I think it was another game where for our young guys, they're figuring out how difficult it is, how hard it is to win games, especially on the road in the ACC. And it really is back to work for us.
You mentioned back to work. When you look at getting ready and trying to fix something like that, I imagine that's been a point of emphasis the last couple of days, and we'll continue to be going into Pittsburgh. Is it an X and O thing? Is it a scheme thing? Or is it more, you know, we said meta earlier, is it the psychological way of how you approach the game at the outset?
Well, we feel it starts with our mindset. And, you know, as poorly as we feel we started that game and played throughout. And when I say that, not taking anything away from Virginia Tech, they all played us. And sure. They deserve to win. But, you know, it's 55-56. And, you know, there's about 12 minutes to go in the game. They scored 58-55. You know, you have we had three possessions where we took poor shots and really we splintered. And, you know, that's where as a team, you know, we need to come together. If we get a score and a stop, all of a sudden, you know, we had a chance to take that lead. And there was a critical moment. But I think it goes back to the mindset of just figuring out ways to win. And when you get close, again, we played hard in that second half to cut it down. You have to take advantage of it. So trusting each other, working together to get better shots, and talking more. And our communication on the defensive end has to improve.
You mentioned the stretch I was going to talk about next. I think it was like 13 minutes to go, and it's a one-point game, 55-56. And unfortunately, from our perspective, just four field goals from there to the house, including seven missed shots in a row. Good looks from three. And I know there were some things that were mixed in there that you said maybe weren't the best shot selection, but Coach kind of said it exasperated. I think all of us kind of felt like, just couldn't buy a bucket. I mean, these were really good looks. Right. But how do you, when it's not going in, because that happens, right, in the course of a game, are there things that can be drawn up or called or ways to go and try to, I don't know, get to the free throw line, if that makes sense, or try to go get something inside when it just feels like the breaks aren't happening from outside?
Right. Well, first of all, in that one stretch, you know, we took the three shots in a row, you know, when it was 58-55. But down the stretch, like you said, we had good open threes that we just missed. Bunch of them were right there. Sometimes it comes down to making or missing. I will say, we've talked as a staff. This has been, you know, as a team, we've gone to the free throw line less than any team recently, you know, in for a Duke team. And we need to drive the ball stronger and harder and not rely too much on shooting jump shots. And, you know, it's also a team where we don't have a guy that's just we throw the ball into to get fouled. You know, we've had, you know, Vernon, Zion, Marvin, Wendell. And so to, really in the past, if you think about the history of Duke basketball, we've done it with driving the ball. Yep. And, you know, we need to part of being able to drive is also making shots, right? Because if the less you're able to help, the more it opens up driving lines. So all these things work hand in hand. I think it comes into play where we have to drive it stronger. We have to be ready to kick and shoot. You know, look, I could go on and on, but I think as far as getting to the free throw line is something we have to do a much better job of.
Yeah, as you said, it's kind of odd to look at the statistics and see the opponents with more free throw attempts than the Blue Devils. But as you said, the makeup of the lineup is a little bit different this year. And to kind of piggyback on that, we've seen a lot of the small ball this year. And the way that the game is played, and in some respects, I think officiated is fair to say, it's a different game on the perimeter than it is inside. And that adjustment period to know, you know, how tightly things are going to be called inside versus how much physical play is going to be allowed. It was a very physical game. It doesn't mean the officials did a bad job against Virginia Tech. It's just a different game sometimes inside. And when you have guys that are used to playing on the perimeter, what's the adjustment like when you go inside and now all of a sudden hands can be all over you and it's totally fine?
Well, you know, we've always talked about playing through contact and, you know, you get inside, you know, it's conference play. That's how it goes. It goes that way both ways. And we need to play strong. There's no other way around it. And, you know, contact is a part of the game. We need to do a better job initiating it, but also just playing through it as simple as that sounds. You know, we've had a bunch of finishes these last couple of games. We're right there, whether it's on a breakaway or in the half court. Well, we just need to play through that contact and finish. So I think we will. You know, we'll be working on it like crazy in between the Virginia Tech game and in our next game versus Pitt. But clearly, I mean, that's something we need to work on.
And obviously the top line result is where most of our attention is. The Blue Devils, though, are 5-3, 3-1 in the ACC. And when you dig a little deeper, I think there's some really encouraging things that you can see in the stats, even from that game itself. The rebounding numbers, Duke, by and large, has had the edge on the opposition at this point. The offensive rebounding has been really good. But let's talk about the defense. Six more steals against Virginia Tech. Jordan Goldwire had four all by himself, averaging about 10 steals per game in ACC play. And how much of a piece is that in terms of creating the offensive looks that you guys want? Because it feels like there's becoming more and more opportunities in transition.
Well, that's been important. You know, we've been in a position, though, Shumate, where two out of our last three games, we've been down and have had to scramble a little bit, and it started where our defense wasn't what it should be, you know, giving up easy shots, you know, drives in our paint. So we need to be solid to start games. And then if you add in the disruption that we can cause with our ball pressure and contesting, that's where we want to get to. But I think the effort to get back in games has been really good. Like you said, the disruption, you know, Jordan, you know, that he's had has been really good, and other guys. But we need to be much better from the get-go with our defense in terms of not giving up easy shots early in the games.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Is there a give and take for any coaching staff in the country? Let's take it outside of Duke here. When you look at, okay, who's going to be our five best defensive players we want to put on the floor, and or who's going to be our five best offensive players we want to put on the floor? And the choices have to be made to, you know, to have that balance, to try to get the offense, but also not to give up too much on the defensive end of the floor. And how much time you guys spend kind of grinding through how you want to approach that game in and game out?
Well, I think the biggest thing, Shumate, for us is we have a lot of developing players where it's not a set five for what you're looking for all the time. And, you know, we've had some inconsistency in terms of one game, you know, somebody's playing better, the other game, somebody else could be playing better. And so we're looking forward to the game where we can get everybody all on the same page, playing really well as a team. And I don't think we've quite had that yet. So whether it be, you know, specifically talking about defense or just our team, you know, we need everybody. And so that's, you know, I think it's a good time where we can have a few more days of practice, you know, regroup here, get everybody on the same page moving forward.
Is that one of those things you kind of know it when you see it, or do you have an idea of what this team looks like or the style that they will play with when they reach that point that you're like, okay, we're starting to embrace our identity?
Well, I think we'll know it when we see it. But for us, you know, we know who we are as a coaching staff in terms of, you know, we don't have, you know, a lot of times I'll just go back to, you know, when I played my senior year, part of what made us really good was knowing we all needed each other and it wasn't going to be just one guy carrying the load. And it's the same thing for this year's team. So there can be strength from that. And we haven't quite done that to that level yet. And, you know, so whether it's making the right kicks, whether it's moving without the ball, whether it's be, you know, gang rebounding, because we are going to be smaller than most teams. We just need to, again, we played 8 games, so we don't expect to be all the way there yet. But obviously we have some improvements to make.
I want to talk about some individuals here in just a second, but to kind of wrap up this portion talking about the whole, Duke the last few years has been very fortunate. They've had some talent that just can overwhelm people, where the game's kind of over with before it gets going. This team obviously is extremely talented as well, but they've had to fight and scrap for it a little bit more. And those, I don't know if you call them scars or wounds that you pick up along the way, I feel like they harden you over the course of the season. And Coach Carriwell likes to talk about this junkyard dog mentality that you come out and play with. You know, you don't want to romanticize it too much, but, you know, you've been a part of some of those teams that you had to scrap and claw and fight your way. When you get towards the end of the season, how does that affect your mentality? Can sometimes, I don't want to say losing is a good thing or anything like that, but the things that you learn along the way, how can they help you down the road when you do have the team, like you said, that feels like everyone needs to contribute? It's not just about one or two guys going out and getting 30.
Well, losing hardens you. You know, it makes you, if you treat it the right way, you know, I hate losing. And Coach hates losing as much as anybody that I know, and it, all the way down the line. And, you know, sometimes I always felt like for me as a player, you know, now as a coach, that's where you have an opportunity to grow the most, because it really exposes what your weaknesses are. And I just think there's nothing like going out, you know, to a game and knowing I need to play my best. Otherwise, we're not going to lose. Like my teammate needs me. You know, my coaching staff needs me. And we have that with this year's team. We have to scrap, claw, fight for every possession. And so it's different for the guys returning. Some of these teams we've had the last couple of years where there are a few games where we just are better and we've been better. But I think it's exciting, the team that we have, and, you know, figuring out how to fight our way through.
Are we talking about the group as a whole? Do want to get a couple quick updates on individuals, and unfortunately injuries have been a part of what we've been talking about here early in the season. Haven't seen Patrick come back from the back injury, but he has been working with Nick Potter in practice and making some progress. Nick Potter, one of the best in the country to get guys rehabbed and ready to go. But we did see Jalen Johnson back, albeit briefly, against Virginia Tech. And Coach, what can you tell us about what you've seen from Jalen and his progression? And, you know, some people might say, why didn't he play 30 minutes? I mean, everyone's seen the talent and knows what he can do, but you can't just throw a guy back in the wolves like that, I wouldn't think.
No, and Jalen only had, you know, really a day and a half of practice. And so, you know, for us, we made the decision late to suit him up, to be available, you know, play a few minutes. But really, that's not fair to Jalen. He needs more time to practice. So this week, he'll get, you know, really back in, you know, game shape, you know, get reacquainted with our plays and coverages, and should be ready to go. So we're obviously excited to get him back in the mix. He's been working hard. I know he's anxious to play again. And, you know, obviously he can be a difference maker for our team.
I am interested, when you're working on a guy like that back in, how much of it is conditioning versus how much of it is the fact that, you know, much has been made about the tweaks that were made going into the Notre Dame game offensively and what you guys were doing. And the way things are schemed, the way you guys are playing, is a little bit different team than the one that he was a part of before he got hurt.
Yeah, it's different. But I really think he'll fit in terms of, you know, knowing how to play. I think it's a huge part of it is getting in great shape again quickly, because there's not a ton of time. And if he's in the shape, I think his instincts will kick in. You know, naturally, you know, in practice, we'll be able to work on the things that we're working on with everybody, which is making the right reads and sharing the ball and taking good shots. But, you know, really with him, we're going to do a lot of running, you know, a lot of game simulations to get back in that great playing shape.
The other thing that's caught me off guard a little bit from this team has been how well the team as a whole has offensive rebounded. More than 12 per game, just because the height wasn't there to start the season when you looked at the makeup. And the other thing that has surprised me is Chicago Kid is second on the team in offensive right. rebounding and second on the team as a whole in rebounding overall. Talking about DJ Stewart, and we talked with him, and he said that was something for him that started in high school.
In high school, I used to rebound the ball a lot, so I just pretty much crashed, and perimeter rebounding is big for us. So just being on the boards, the coaches tell us to get on the boards and practice all the time. So, just going out there and executing the game plan, just working hard at all times.
Well, I think DJ said it best, but, you know, he's always had a great nose for the ball. And, you know, rebounding, I've always felt, really comes down to heart. And who wants it more? And also, you got to have a knack for where the ball is going to go. And DJ does have a great nose for it. He's always on the boards with, you know, guys that are bigger than him. He's got those long arms, and he just finds a way to get in there. But he's not the only one. You know, we've had games where different guys are on the offensive boards. And a lot of times when you're spacing the perimeter, it gives you that advantage to get inside and get a running start. And so we've taken advantage of that. I think we've also missed some shots, and hopefully we have less opportunities for offensive rebounds coming up. But again, that's a huge part of who we are and who we need to continue to be.
15 offensive rebounds in the win over Wake Forest, 15 second chance points. And is there an art to offensive rebounding? I say it in the context of you can get burned, right, with too many guys crashing the offensive glass, and now you have a leak out opportunity for the other team. So how do you guys go about coaching that? Is it a feel thing for the guards of when to go to the offensive glass?
Yeah, well, you know, we try to not make it where every time these guys are automatically going, because like you said, if you're on top, you're for the most part going to need to get back. Although we just talk about the opportunity. So if there's, depending on where the ball is shot, depending where you are, where your man is, we typically like to have three guys on the glass, two guys back, but it really depends. And coach gives our players the freedom to make that read as long as we communicate who's back and who's going, where we can put pressure on the defense.
The other guy I wanted to hit on was Jeremy Roach, because we talked about him early in the season in the context of one of those guys that has a bunch of assists and no turnovers joining that freshman club. And now here he comes with a big-time scoring output at Virginia Tech with 22 points. And you talked about the identity of Duke over the years has been driving to the hoop. Here's a guy that seems like he's got a lot of skill finishing around the rim.
Well, Jeremy has really got a knack for finishing. We want him to be aggressive. You know, he's trying to figure out that balance of being the point guard, running our team, how to get other guys involved and to score as well. You know, like you said, he's had a game where he had 7 assists, no turns. And then last game he had 22 points, you know, but he has no assists. And so I think for him, finding that balance where we still want him to attack, but also create for others. And that's part of the natural progression of a young point guard. But the main thing is how aggressive he was, and, you know, the defense. We want the defense from him as well, because he's a very capable defender.
Well, I haven't given you a lot of opportunities this year on the pod, I feel like, to give me some coach speak. So I'm going to tee it up right here. You know, at 5-3, 3-1 in the league, in-state tournament is now just a couple of months away. Do you guys look at trying to construct it as a whole yet, or, you know, wins the Blue Devils need to get? Obviously still in the thick of it in terms of winning the ACC, but, you know, putting together the quote-unquote so-called resume for seeding and everything going into the in-state tournament. Go and give me some good game-by-game stuff.
Well, you hit on the head. We have not talked about it at all. It's on to Pittsburgh. We got to beat them. And that's really it, Shumate. You media guys can make more out of it. But for us, it's on to the next.
It's like slow-pitch softball right there. Just throw it up and let them swing away. All right, Pittsburgh is next. It'll be good to see Jeff Capel up at the Peterson Event Center coming up on Tuesday night. Before we do head out on this one, I wanted to get your thoughts on a little bit different topic than what we normally talk about on the podcast. And Coach had some comments, and I want to quote him here after the game against Wake Forest, where he was pretty pointed. Of course, there's been some things going on around the country, particularly what happened last Wednesday at our nation's capital, where there was an incident at the Capitol. And I want to use Coach's words here. He said Wednesday was a horrible day. It was an insurrection. It went to the very fabric of this great country, where the symbol of our democracy is that Capitol, and we allowed that symbol to be really just spit on. and stepped on. It was a sorry day, and my prayers go out to the officer's family who was killed from the Capitol Police, just like my prayers go out to the 16,000 families that have lost loved ones in this last week. Are you kidding me? There's 16,000 in that whole thing. What the hell are we doing? The thoughts of the head coach talking about obviously what happened in our nation's capital, and also talking about what's going on with the pandemic. And I bring it to you, Coach, in the context of there's a lot going on this year beyond basketball, and maybe more so than ever. Coach was outspoken over the course of the summer, issues surrounding social justice, important issues. And look, Coach is no shrinking violet, to use the cliche. He's going to come out and say what he thinks. And you guys spent a lot of time working with these guys, getting them ready for their professional careers as it comes to basketball. But in terms of developing them and these young men that are exposed to so much, whether it be social media, you know, YouTube videos, regular traditional media outlets, you can't really get away from what's going on in our country, maybe like you could a couple of decades ago. But to see, you know, this is a guy you played for, a guy that you work for currently, and these guys that are currently playing for him, what does it mean to see a guy like that, that's willing to say his piece and give perspective when it feels like perspective is so often lacking these days?
Well, I think that's well said, Shumate. First of all, I would say I completely echo Coach's statement that he made, and it was a disgrace to our country what happened. And, you know, I in a lot of ways, our guys are – they're exposed to way more than what I was exposed to or anybody that I played with in college. And even 5 years ago, you know, it's changed in terms of, you know, I think for all of us, the news, the politics, the everything going on in the world, I think a lot of it has to do with social media. But the main thing is all of us on staff, more importantly, our guys on the team, our players, they always know a coach has their back and he's not afraid to speak out. He's never going to throw them under the bus, and he's always got them. And I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, I think we owe it to everybody that comes to our program. Of course, you want to win basketball games and develop them as players, but also develop them as people. You know, I feel thankful. I was a boy when I came to Duke, and I was a man when I left. And a part of that is learning outside the basketball court. And, you know, I can tell you I'm learning myself every day. I pay attention to the news. I try to learn as much as I can because I do not know everything. But I think that's also something I try to teach and also let our guys know that we don't have all the answers. But I think as long as we're all learning and in it together, we'll all be better for it.
The other thing I think I'd say as we close, and you can speak to us better than I can, you know, here's a guy who's won everything. Olympic gold medals, national championships, a boatload of ACC titles, 73 years old, doesn't have anything to prove, but a guy who's constantly sourcing what other people think.
Well, the thing I really respect about Coach is throughout the entire process, you know, especially with the social justice issues, was how he listened. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit, especially as you get older, it's always harder to say what you don't know and to be okay with that. I think Coach just was a great listener, learned from the other guys on staff, learned from other people in the brotherhood, and was better for it. I think we're all better. And I know the rest of the guys, I'm going to speak for all of them right now. And I think it's okay to do that. Everyone loved being on those calls and learning from one another, understanding what's going on, talking about it. And I give Coach a ton of credit for putting that together.
No question. And the head coach kind of has said, you know, he doesn't have all the answers, but he knows there's a lot of shared common values and knows for sure that we're better than this, this moment that we're in. And if we kind of unify, we can find our way out of this. Well, as we start to put a period on this, back to the basketball side of things and off this weekend and then back to work next week against Pittsburgh, you never know what's going to happen with the pandemic. You have to keep saying it because it's a reality. But from here to the house, at least, you know, those 14 games that are left on the schedule, plus maybe two more postponements that might get rescheduled. Classes are getting going again, whether it be virtually or in person here on campus. It feels like a little bit more of a routine developing here over the next few weeks. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it is. And it's a new routine because all we've had is our games and practices. And now you add in school, which will, you know, take up more time. So back to time management, you know, our guys will have to plan accordingly. We'll help them with that. And still we get a lot of games. So there's a lot to be excited about, you know, coming off a loss. We should be very hungry going into that game versus that Capel guy. And, you know, we're excited about it.
That Capel guy. I've seen him somewhere before.
That Capel guy. So, but he's done a heck of a job, and he's got a really good team. So it's going to be a great challenge for us, and we're excited.
Looking forward to Tuesday night. Coach, appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Take care.
See you guys next week.